Well, it is really different for me to be standing up here. I feel like I have been gone all summer, and I have. And so if you are new here today, this is a little different in a number of ways. Normally, we don't have all the kids in here. We lock them away somewhere else. So we can have a moment of peace and quiet together. But I want to tell you, it is really good to be here. If you have, I don't want to blow this out of proportion because it doesn't deserve to be, but since I'm usually the one that's up here in front, the fact that I haven't been, I have two brand new knees this summer. Well, and to be honest, there's some other people sprinkled around here that have new stuff also, okay? And I am not the only one, although I think I am the only one that did both of them in the summer, and so I don't have any regrets about that. And I will gladly show you pictures. They're gruesome and cool at the same time, and so we can do that. But I want to say, Not just for me, but especially from me, thank you for the prayers that you offer. And I say that on behalf of others who know that there are real people that pray with real names for real friends. It is a great thing to know that. I want to thank you for the visits and so forth. I also want to say thanks to our staff and our leadership team and all the people that work and how it just seemed like we went on seamlessly this summer. And it's wonderful to know that I'm not needed. And I guess I want to say especially to Adam, who preached here most of the summer. You know, I got a little weary of people calling me and telling me how fantastic the sermon was every week and how great it is. And it's like, enough already, okay? So, anyway, Adam, that's a personal thank you because I know that you had to be up here in front and be kind of the voice of a church family that was filled with a lot of pain this summer also. We had loss, and we had struggle, and it wasn't always easy, and it is still not easy. And so I am really grateful for that. I guess to you that are new or newer, we do this periodically. Now, this is really interesting. We started a number of weeks ago and said, hey, this is a really important day, September 10th, want everybody to be in, you know, come join us. I made phone calls just because I sit around and watch NCIS reruns, and I'm tired of that. and so I would text people and I would call people, go, hey, I hope you can come Sunday. Hey, no, we're out of town. No, we're out. There are more people gone today than there have been all summer from our church family. It is like crazy. It's like, oh, sorry, we're doing this or that. So, you know, that's all good. But we do this together periodically when we ask kids to come in and try to get all in together. Because sometimes it's just good to all be together. There's some intrinsic value in that when we can look around and we can go, wow, I didn't know you went here. I didn't know you were part of this church family. And that's especially true when we were doing our two services. But when we were all in a room together, we get to remember again who we are. Helps us understand more about ourselves and about our interaction with God. The church in the Bible is called a lot of different names. Just a lot Some of them are kind of obscure references, and others they are words and titles that are repeated. And we learn about ourselves. We learn about the church. We learn about this crazy kind of relationship that we have with each other from those definitions. Now, I'm not going to list all of them, but some of you may know what I'm talking about. I mean, we are in the Bible, we are called the chosen ones. And just LeBron, okay? We are called the chosen one. We hold a special place in the heart of God. We do, this group of people. We're called a temple. So there's something that is holy and sacred, not just about the place. In fact, it has very little to do with the place, but it has to do with the interactions that we have. There's something holy and set apart and good and righteous about these friendships that we have in this room and beyond, that God says through His Word, we are a temple. We are a sacred place. And when anybody comes and rubs elbows with us, they become part of the temple of the holy. Now, I don't know if you feel that way this morning, but that's who you are. That's who we are. It's inferred by another word in the Bible that we are actually an army. We're a room full of soldiers that answer to a commander in chief. Wow, that's remarkable to think about that. We're called the bride. We have this special, loving, intimate relationship with a mysterious God that we know so much about and yet we know so little about at the same time. We've been called a building that starts off with a foundation and continues to grow and develop and so forth. And I look at us as a church family and I see that that's who we are. All of those words and all of the other ones help give meaning and understanding. But my favorite word, my favorite definition of who the church is, who we are, is really the one that I think expresses the heart of our church, of North Point, the very best. It's the very best. And it occurs in Scripture in a couple of different places. It's inferred all over the place. But it's this one. It's out of First Peter. It says, love the family of believers. We're a family. I love to refer to us as family. It's the one that, to me, feels the best of all, that speaks the most of who we are and what we want to be. Marshall, I got these out of order, so we're going to go back to the Scripture right now. I want us to read together some words of Jesus when He was speaking to the disciples, because they are the words that it is as if He is speaking them to us today, right now. Not 2,000 years ago, not projecting into the future, but it's as if this is His voice and His words and His phrases to us about our relationship to each other and what it means. And so let's read this out loud together. It's out of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Let's read. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Oh my goodness, those words are penetrating. To think that they are the very words that are to us right now in this place. The majority of you who are here today, I would say you are here, you are part of the North Point family. Because being part of a church family is what you are looking for. It's something that it's almost intangible, but not entirely. But it's what you're looking for. It's how being part of a church resonates with you. I know it does with me. I think it's always been what made this church family special to me. I spent a lot of years in big church. Now, even though we've been here, our family's been here for 23 years, the years prior to moving here, I spent a lot of years in big church. And part of the personality, part of the ethic of big church is that we spent a lot of time constantly working and strategizing on how to get bigger. It's what we did. And for me, even though I was there for years, it never fit. And it's crazy to look back on. And by the way, when you got a couple of knees that have been sliced open and they've shoved metal inside of them and all you can do is sit, there's been a lot of thinking over the last 8 or 9 weeks. A lot of remembering. And one of the things that I found myself circling back to a lot during these months, these couple of months, has been us. You know, and what it was like when we moved here 23 years ago. And it was as if I walked in the door and felt like this is where I belonged. Now, we have changed over the years. We are a stopping off point for lots of people on their way to somewhere else. I'm okay with that. There has to be a good place where people can stop off for a while before God moves them on to wherever they're going to go. I'm just glad He didn't move me on anywhere, because this is where I've always wanted to be. In our family here, one of the values that we possess is that honoring God is way more than attending an event, and certainly way more than being impressed by what people up in front do. Okay? Sure. I know it. One of the questions that I get, and John, you can be ready right now for this. One of the questions that I get all the time here, it's maybe the question I get the most from new people. After they have come on a given Sunday, they will ask, "You guys do communion every Sunday?" And I love the question. Look at that. They just get up and move at my command. I have missed this. You know? My wife is so tired of getting things for me. And she has done so well. But it's time to move on. No, you know, people ask, why? Really? You guys do communion every Sunday? You know, you've come from a church that, you know, you did it like once a month or once a quarter, you know, twice a year, you know, some maybe even once a year, where it's this big, big thing. Now, we just do it every week. Looks pretty much the same. Not a whole lot of pomp and circumstance. Not a whole lot of ceremony to it. What it is it is simply our response to our understanding of Scripture when Jesus said, do this a lot. Do it as often as you get together. So we do. There are people in our church family who share communion with each other when they invite people over to eat. Just eat dinner at their house. What it is it's this amazing, concrete, tangible reminder that Jesus made promises and He keeps promises. and He will always keep them. And we take bread, and we take some juice, and you can, when it comes by you right now, you can hold it. You can, if you want to take time to turn around to your children and teach them something about it, feel free to do that. Do whatever you want, because the invitation, the table setting of communion is something that Jesus did. It's not what we do. And this is where we remember that we are family. This is that tangible place where you can put some bread in your mouth, even though it's just a little pellet thingy, and you can take a little cup of grape juice. But I encourage you to sneak a peek down the row to people that are over there or over there as you put it in your mouth and you let the bread and the juice linger in there to remember again that Jesus died on the cross not only to purchase for us new life, but He also purchased for us new family. A family that extends far beyond blood, far beyond time. This is something that is who we are. And we share this very much together.